A dancer's past, a woman's future. The seductive and lucrative world of strip clubs sets the stage for Naked Influence, a tale about a charismatic exotic dancer who finds herself engulfed in a doomed relationship with a congressman. How do they make this stuff up? The show opened at Cap Rep in downtown Albany and runs through February 14th. The favorite of last year's Next Act New Play Summit 3, Naked Influence, showcases author Suzanne Bradbeer's intelligence in examining contemporary stories ripped from the headlines. Robert Newman plays Dennis, a congressman with a heart of stone. Newman is familiar from a 28-year run as Joshua Lewis on the longest-running program in broadcast history, Guiding Light. A two-time Daytime Emmy Award nominee, Newman recently guest-starred on Homeland, Criminal Minds, NCIS, and Law & Order SVU. He has an extensive off-Broadway and regional theater resume as well, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Robert, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
That's great to have you on the program. So how did your participation in this particular, in Naked Influence, come about?
Well, it started in the same way that every theater project starts. My agents give me a call and say, hey, there's this play, and hey, there's this character, and we think it's really interesting. It's a world premiere up in Albany, and with some good people, and take a read and tell me what you think. And this character, you know, it's rough for me to talk about the character because there's some surprises throughout the play with this character. But since you already let the cat out of the bag of playing, what did you say, Despicable or something like that? Or a Heart of Stone?
Heart of Stone, I think, is the way it's used in the press release. Yes, it's a Heart of Stone.
I've been phrasing it like a stripper and a congressman get together. What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I play a lot of bad guys these days. Josh Lewis, the character I played on Guiding Light, was a good guy.
Yeah.
And after 28 years of that, I've really embraced the dark side of the characters that I portray now, and this is one of them. But he's a very complex, multi-layered guy.
When you look at this show, and it's unfolding, what is the story? What is the point you think you're ultimately trying to get across?
Well, I think what Suzanne Bradbeer, the author, is doing here is looking at she's telling a story that, quite frankly, could be told in many other settings. It could be in office, it could be in government, it could be a lot of things. It's a woman's journey to finding her own self-empowerment and to try to get herself out of the place that she's in to a different place in her life. Suzanne's done so much research on this world, and the protagonist, Lucy, is also fighting an addiction that actually is a real thing that happens for strippers. They mm-hmm. become addicted to what they do because there's a certain power associated with what they do. But I think Suzanne's challenging the audience in placing it in this world that we don't all really approve of, you know? And so there's some questions asked of the audience, I think, throughout the piece along the lines of, you know, does a woman who works in this world deserve the same kind of respect that a woman does who works in an office? Can a stripper be sexually abused? Does a stripper deserve respect from her sister or sibling who has no respect for what she does?
Mm.
Yeah, you know. And so Suzanne tells the story through Lucy's encounter with her sister, who does not approve of what she does, a guy she meets in the park, who doesn't know what she does for a living. She develops somewhat of a relationship with him. She just wants to have a normal relationship with a guy, but she's petrified about how he's going to respond when he finds out what she does for a living. And then there's the boss of the club, played by Yvonne Perry, who sort of enables Lucy in a way and tries to sort of keep her as part of the club because Lucy's act is very lucrative for the club.
Mm.
And then in walks a guy. And so in the course of this journey of Lucy's, this guy does something mid-play that completely changes everything, and
the pivotal plot point in this is ultimately it's off stage, so it leaves the audience kind of wondering what happened. Mm-hmm. Does that give you any challenge as an actor to kind of play that when you don't know what's going on the audience's head?
Well, absolutely. But I think that the author did that on purpose. Sure. I mean, first of all, to put a scene that would likely be that brutal on stage would be jarring, I think, for the audience. But I think she's also done it because, you know, we really don't know what happens in these moments. Right. And there's an implication that he isn't aware that he has done anything wrong. You know, this is coming from a bit from today's headlines. You know, when you think about Cosby, who still, you know, is convinced that I was just doing what people do, you know. We bought Quaaludes, we gave them to girls to have sex. What's the big deal, you know? Or what we see in fraternities, things like that. So I think because she doesn't show the event to the audience, it makes everyone question whether Lucy's remembering it correctly, whether he's remembering it correctly. Did, you know, whatever happened? What is rape? What is not rape? What is assault? What is not assault? These questions are all dealt with in the play. And I really need to stress, though, on the flip side of that, there is an enormous amount of humor in this play.
Yeah.
That my fellow actors, I don't really have all the funny lines, but my fellow actors,
Jay Congressman,
my fellow actors working with Amanda, you know, Amanda, the actors are Amanda Sykes and Andy Lucene and Brenny Rabin and Yvonne Perry. Those guys working with Suzanne's dialogue are just slam dunking some incredibly funny moments in the play. But in my view, theater has two goals. One is to be entertaining, which this part of the play is, this funny part of the play, and that's a good thing. But I think theater should also be challenging, and I think that when theater is at its best, we're thinking a different way about something when we walk out of that experience of the theater. Mm. And I think that this play achieves that.
When you go and look at a show like this, as you say, it is a mixed bag. As far as, you know, drama and there is humor as well, but you do want the audience when they leave to think about these things, to have some sort of thought.
Yeah, absolutely, and to look at the world in a different way than perhaps they did when they walked in. You have a club right here in Albany. At least one that I know of, right? We went there to shoot a commercial one day, and I think some of the actors, not me, but some of the actors went for research purposes.
Yep.
You know, the women who work there are part of this community too.
Yep.
And what is it like for them when they're recognized in the store, in the market shopping? What is it like for them when they're recognized dropping their kid off at school? And why are they placed in this lower tier than many of the men who actually go to that club? You know, every club has men who are well-respected in the community who go there on a regular basis. That's okay. But the women are placed in this other thing. When, in fact, you know, they're just women who are trying to make a living just like anybody else. And, again, back to what I said earlier, you know, that deserve the respect that perhaps we don't give them.
Let's talk a little bit about your work on Guiding Light, of doing that for over two decades, of what that was. Obviously, when you take a gig like that, you don't expect it to last that long.
No.
I mean, I guess no. Maybe you hope that you've got a long-term gig, but nobody could ever imagine that it's going to last that long.
No. When the show went off the air, I was asked in an interview on 60 Minutes, as a matter of fact, you know what? Are you upset that the show went off the air? And I said, hey, I signed a 3-year contract 28 years ago. If all of my gigs work out like that, I'd be thrilled to pieces. You know, I have no complaints. But I never thought for a minute that I would stay. I had done strictly theater work for 5 years before that. In fact, the first time I ever stepped in front of a camera was my audition for Joshua Lewis. Hmm. That's the first time I've ever acted in front of a camera. And I signed the 3-year deal. I actually quit after the first 3 years because the contract was up, and they came to me and said, well, you're going to resign, right? And I was like, why? It's 3 years. It's done. And then I came back to the show a couple years later, and then I quit again. I quit for two-year periods over that 28-year span. But ultimately, I wanted, first of all, to raise my family in New York and not Los Angeles. And yeah. Guiding Light was shot in New York. And I also wanted sort of a normal upbringing for my kids, where I wasn't traveling as much as other dads do. And when you work on a soap opera, you're not necessarily working 5 days a week. Very often, sometimes you do, but very often it's 3-4. And so it was an extraordinary vehicle to raise my children. And the work itself I find incredibly challenging. Soap, So it doesn't get the respect it deserves, I think, in a lot of ways.
What happened to, and we're running out of time, but what happened to the genre? I mean, it was a staple. It was kind of like the Saturday morning cartoon, and then it's just gone.
There's 10 answers to that question. I mean, there's so many factors. That, some of it's just flat out economics, where the cost of running a show where you're shooting 250 episodes a year of 1 hour dramatic programming with 25 actors on contract and 6 directors and 15 writers, and you know, it's just a huge thing. We were replaced by a game show, by example. So you've got a host, you've got a couple of people turning letters or whatever.
Right.
You shoot the whole thing in a day.
And a lot of commercial endorsements.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, so the business model. And then there's the whole thing about, obviously, even stay-at-home moms are busier than they've ever been. They're not sitting down and watching television anymore. And, you know, all these things sort of come into play and work together. And the... If you think about it, though, the soap opera model still exists in what we watch in many programs today.
And you were on CBS?
CBS Guiding Light, yeah.
Yeah, and because I remember years ago interviewing Charles Kuralt.
Sure.
For Sunday morning, and at the end of the interview, he turned to me and goes, "Now we have to vacate the studio because Guiding Light's moving in." I thought, wow, that says a lot about
the CBS broadcast.
Yeah, that says a lot about
correct.
The news business and the soap
no,
opera business.
No, they didn't
does.
Vacate the studio. We moved into a segment of the CBS Broadcast Center, which is a huge city block long, and we took a part of it. There was still news being shot
well,
there
no,
every day.
Of course, of course. You shared the space, that's all. Well, hey, the show is very cool. It's Naked Influence. It is at Cap Rapids through February 14th. Robert Newman plays Dennis, the congressman with the heart of stone. Robert, thank you very much for being
thank
with us.
You.
Have a great run. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for spending time with me.
You can find out more at capitalrep.org.